So every barrier between you and heaven has been removed. Sacred blood has been spilled, and now we have a sacred path that has been inaugurated. It has been devoted specifically for believers to come. We have, it's like our private elevator. We have our own escalator. We have our own lift, so to speak, to come into that beautiful throne room. And what a miracle it is that we look like Jesus when we come before him.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in for what is going to be an extraordinary episode of Live Your Best Life today with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my special guest, one of my favorite people in the world, literally joining me for today's conversation, is a man of such great loves, great depth of intimacy with Jesus, great depth of knowledge in the Word of God. He is a very loved international speaker, very loved international author. His books have gone around the world. He's the lead translator of the Passion Translation of the Bible, which is my favorite version of the Bible, as most of you know. It is, of course, the most amazing Dr. Brian Simmons joining me for the conversation today. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Liz. So good to be with you again.
It's so good to have you. I love our conversations, Brian. And even just as we were before we came on live with you guys, it was just the presence of Jesus as we began to pray for the conversation today, his holy presence began to just fall on us. So I'm super expectant for what's going to happen for you today as you listen into the conversation between us about the throne of God. So, Brian, there's nobody better in the world to talk to about this subject, in my opinion. Your revelation and the way that you have written the commentaries in the Passion Translation of the Bible around, like, the book of Revelation, for example, just the depth of understanding of the Word of God that you have is profound. I mean, it just brings it all to life when you read. And so I want to start our conversation. There's something that I read that you wrote in the commentaries, and you said it was to do with the throne. You said the throne room is the control center of the universe, or the throne is the control center of the universe. And I just, it stopped me in my tracks. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, so can we jump off there? Will you talk to us about what you understand Jesus is communicating to us through the experience he gave to John, recorded in the book of Revelation, about the throne?
I'd love to. The throne is the governmental epicenter of the cosmos. Everything revolves around the throne. You know, the earth spins on an axis, the moon spins, the sun spins, our galaxy spins. All of the cosmos spins around the throne room. So it is like the gyroscope of glory. And the throne room is, of course, where the king is enthroned. He rules from that place of sovereignty and glory. And his prophets throughout the ages have all had visitations. He's opened the portal and brought them in. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh. And his glory was filling that throne room, the temple. And so Ezekiel saw the throne on wheels. And I think it's very important that everybody understands the throne of God is portable, mobile. It's meant to be moved. It doesn't just, it's not just cemented onto the sea of glass. We have in Ezekiel, you have the living creatures suspended above them was a sapphire crystal pavement. And then suspended on that was the throne that had wheels and had eyes and it had fire shooting out of it. So the throne of God is his Mount Everest. It's the peak of his glory that he sits enthroned and he rules from Zion's realm. And of course, we're the Zion company, but the blood of Jesus has purchased perfect access, continual access. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting just really hit here.
I can feel his presence.
We have continual access into the throne room. And the writer of Hebrews actually says, come boldly. And of course, I looked up that Greek word, studied it in depth. I was shocked what I discovered. It actually means boldly. We come boldly into the throne of grace. Grace is enthroned. The mercy seat speaks of the sweetness of Calvary's love and redemption. So there's, you know, the fear that would come upon us, our frail humanity, is dissolved when we're washed in that rainbow glory around the throne. And the book of Revelation shows that the open portal, it says in verse 1 of chapter 4, suddenly I saw a portal open into the heavens. And the same trumpet voice I heard speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend, ascend into this realm. So every barrier between you and heaven has been removed. Sacred blood has been spilled, and now we have a sacred path that has been inaugurated. It has been devoted specifically for believers to come. We have, it's like our private elevator. We have our own escalator. We have our own lift, so to speak, to come into that beautiful throne room. And what a miracle it is that we look like Jesus when we come before him. For the nature of the Lamb is now inside of us. He seated us with him at his right hand. So we really must not only know who we are, but we need to know where we are in Christ. We're not only identified in him, wrapped in him, but we're also seated in him. We are in the throne room. We have throne room access, throne room rights, and throne room glory that's available for us. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Boom. Just meditate on that for the next year. Oh my gosh. Tell me, I'd love to know, Brian, one of the experiences that you've had regarding the throne room yourself. Can I ask you that question? Just when you felt that calling and the Lord's gone, just come up here, re-engage into where you actually are, and it's just wrecked you in a good way. Will you share with us?
Yes, it was years ago when I was pastoring and praying and hours a day seeking the face of the Lord. That's still my habit every morning, virtually just devoted to him. And I was, whether I was in my body or not, I don't know, but I was taken onto the sea of glass, and I was taken into the throne room where he commissions his servants. And there I was, I can't hardly explain it. It was like, it was far, but close at the same time. Space is different in eternity, in the eternal realm, in the throne room. Distance is so different than it is here.
Yeah,
it's kind of like your glass, you need a new lens to really discern it. But there he was, the Lord Jesus, and he began to speak to me, and I could not hear what he said. I was unable to discern what he was saying to me. And I'm weeping there, standing before his throne, weeping. And he saw my inability to perceive his heart. So he called for an angel named Mark. There's an angel in heaven named Mark. I've seen him. And for those of you that might be named Mark, wow, you've got an angel in heaven with your name. Mm-hmm. And the Lord wrote on a scroll and handed Mark the scroll to give to me. And that angel came to me, looked me in the eyes, and handed me the divine royal scroll of the Lord. And it was for my life. And it was the message the Lord had for me. And this was my first encounter in the throne room. And you probably want to know what was on the scroll.
I do. Absolutely. Okay. That was my next question. So what was the revelation for your life?
It was Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is to get more of him. So I took that as my life verse from the throne room, and I know that my life is meant to be Christ. My life is Christ, not ministry, not a book, or even a translation. My life isn't the Bible. My life is Christ. And that realm of him consuming me, taking my skin, my flesh, my body, my members yielded to him. That's my glorious delight. That's what I want more than anything else. And it's really been the focus of our ministry for, you know, over 40, 50 years now, is to equip and prepare people to become like Christ, to live in his realm, in the wraparound presence and glory of the living Christ, not I, but Christ.
Yeah, just, Brian, thank you for sharing that, because that is clearly one of the treasures of your life.
Yes.
And that's why we connect so deeply, because that is my passion, is to know him and live. You know, you've just articulated that so beautifully, just that it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ. And it's, we know him and we understand and live from that oneness and reveal him. And there's nothing else more important or more fulfilling in life, is there? And I think it's from that place, because to me, he is the throne, right? He is the throne. It's obviously a place, but the center of the throne is Jesus. And the great revealing of him is what happens around the throne, you know, it just, and then he radiates through us. The more tuned in to that reality we get, you know, it's just a, it's amazing, isn't it? So I did that. Obviously that completely changed your life and set you on course with your mandate, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like, and I know you'll understand this, but I feel like my life is marked by those throne room encounters, and that each time I have, I think they're sovereign. There's a realm in which it's sovereign. There's a sense in which we ascend the secret stairway, and we do ascend the highway of holiness. We ascend, we live in that realm. But then there are sovereign moments where you're taken, you are seized, like a bridegroom seizing a bride, and you're brought into an encounter. And those sovereign encounters of my life, you know, half a dozen or more, they're the markers of my journey. I'm never the same afterwards. Never go back to the same life after an encounter with Jesus. How can you?
You can't. You can't. And in these, such a powerful impartation that comes from him, you receive some more of him, don't you? And it, that experience begins to become your reality of the revelation that's now embedded within you, expanding within you. It's just, I agree. There's that continual loving him and enjoying our relationship and positioning ourselves to experience him by just tuning our heart's attention in, isn't there? And then there's those sovereign moments, like you say, where he just invades your life and marks you, like you said, and changes you and brings you into the next level of focus and capacity in him. And it's the bride, isn't it? It's the life of the bride we're awakening. And then it's so evident when you teach it, like just reading the Passion Translation, listening to you, having done conferences with you, you know, knowing you to the degree that I do, I can hear the encounters coming through your life. It's embedded in everything that you do, all the expression from your life. It's so clear. So I wanted to ask you about moving on from looking at the throne. Obviously, like you said, we are his image, which is extraordinary now, but the authority that we therefore carry because of where we are situated and who we're carrying. Will you talk to us about that? Because I know a lot of people are unsure about this subject. It's like, how do I move in authority? What should I expect of the Lord in terms of the authority that I can express in my life? So can we go there a little bit, Brian? Because I know you're very knowledgeable in this area.
the authority we have is endless. It all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ, and now he has sent us in what's known as the Great Commission with that same authority to trample upon demonic powers. We look down from the sublime sanctuary into the leopard's lair, the lion's den. We rule from the heavenly realm. We're ruling in life from a throne, from a throne encounter, from a throne position. And as we take our throne rights, we are emissaries of the king. We are princes and princesses of the king. And as such, we are royal ambassadors. We are royalty, and angels are servants. We are higher than that. We are not just servants. Yes, we are servants of the Lord forever. We'll be his servant. But Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. And then John and Paul come along and say, you know, there's a higher realm and it's bride. So as the bride of the king, we're not just sons and daughters. Now we take our bridal position as a joint heir, a co-signer to the title deed of the universe. It requires our signature. There are things in the heavenly realm that require our signature. We are the ones that loose them to the earth. It's the will of God, and we then loose it. That's the two-mouthed sword that Ephesians speaks of and Hebrews speaks of, that the word of God is not a two-edged sword. That's not the text. It is literally a two-mouthed sword. And as we speak the words of God through our mouth, they become that sharp two-mouthed sword that will accomplish deliverance. It'll win cities. It'll set captives free. It'll demolish hierarchies and strongholds and citadels of darkness over people and over families and over nations. So the true authority we have is the authority of Christ. And to the measure we live in him and the measure we take that throne room position, that is the measure we can exert here on earth, whether it's stopping storms. I know of the day coming when hospitals are going to be emptied by the decree of servants of the Lord. We're going to see the reversal of earthquakes. We're going to see calamities that were turned around because a throne room company has heard the counsel of the Lord, and now they're in agreement with the Lord, and they're releasing it to the earth. God wants an outlet on the earth. Jesus wants a dispenser to release him on the earth, and that is the yielded heart of his lovers. As long as we'll be the bridal partner, the lover of God that has nothing but a desire to do his will, he will pour through us with authority that is going to be greater than any nuclear arsenal, greater than the militaries of men. There is a power realm in the word of God and in the throne of God that is waiting for us to take our place as the regal bride, the royal bride, wearing our garments of Psalm 45, all beautiful within is the bride. That position there in the ivory palaces, and we can release not just judgments, that's been the focus of certain ministries, but that we could release awakening, glory, waves of glory that spill from heaven to earth, cascading to the earth, because a heavenly intercessor stood before the Father, stood before Jesus, stood before the throne and pleaded for mercy and pleaded for that miracle. Just as Moses turned away God's anger against Israel, so we can turn away the judgments that many, many are so quick to pronounce on this planet. Liz, I'm so excited about this topic of ruling and reigning on high, the sovereignty of God. God is, you know, some people in our stream get nervous about the word sovereignty, but I love that word. He is royal, regal. Daniel 4:35 says he does whatever he wants to do on the earth and nobody can stop him. That is sovereignty. And that's my daddy. That's my father. And we get to share in that glorious encounter of seeing our father at work from the throne room.
Just brilliant, brilliant, Brian. There's just, okay, from what you just said, I could talk for about another 3 hours with you about 10 areas I want to do a deep dive into. Just, it's beautiful the way you articulate. I can feel the heart of Jesus while you're speaking. And I agree with you, this whole subject, it's so on the Lord's heart. I mean, I know I've shared with you before, but I've had two encounters, one a little while ago, one very recently, and it's all speaking about what you have just said. And the first one was, I was taken up, sovereign invitation, in a vision, found myself in the throne room, and there was this huge celebration going on. And for as far as I could see around me, there were just thousands and thousands of the family in heaven. There was this great celebration. Everyone was cheering and shouting. And I was sitting next to Jesus in the throne. And I looked at Jesus and said, well, my heart just asked the question, you know, what's the celebration about? And he spoke really clearly to me. And he said, because you are the generation that will live from the throne. Yes. And it was that revelation just hugely impacted me. And then I have been growing in the awareness ever since then that unbelief is going to become irrational to the bride. It's going to become irrational. And the level of authority, the confidence that we're going to walk in, and the depth of rest in who, because we're living in the perspective of the reality that he is the King of glory. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is sovereign, holy. And we have been invited into this profound partnership with him. And so I've been on this journey, Brian, asking the Lord, what is it going to look like? What is it going to look like? You know, and of course, it's going to be enormous and beyond what we can even begin to imagine. But I said, what is it going to look like? And then my most recent experience, I was speaking at an event and I was asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to share? I was speaking in the evening and he wouldn't give me anything. All he would say was, let go, just let go, let go. And eventually, long story cut very short, I did. And the worship was going on. I was about to get up on the platform and I saw Jesus standing in front of me. He came clothed in a garment that was just so humble, beige long garment. And he said, lean into my chest and let go. And so I leant my head onto his chest and it was literally like being taken possession of by Jesus. And I got up and for about 45 minutes, there was a constant stream of Jesus. It was like I'd just been swallowed up within him and I was resting back and he'd come forward and he just spoke. And it was this quiet, complete power and authority, but it was quiet. And as his love just moved around the room, and then miracles began to happen. And there was no laying on of hands. There was no drama. It was just, he was saturating everybody in his love and the revelation that he's God and he's got it. He's in charge. It was just amazing. So I've had glimpses of other experiences I could share with you, but they're two of the most profound that are me experiencing what you are talking about as a prophetic person in the bride. You know, I'm seeing something of what's coming for all of us. And I knew when I came out of Jesus speaking like that I was tasting something of what ministry is going to look like, which is the call on your life, which is obviously why the Lord's using you so powerfully around the nations to prepare the bride, because it is about the revealing of Christ in us, the one who is ultimate authority, decreeing and transforming this realm, right? Through the partnership, as we yield to him, we let go.
Wow.
Just amazing. Just let amazing. Go. So yeah, just let go and let him be God through us.
And you went right into his heart. And the heavenly realm, in one word, is Jesus. It really is. All the glory is focused on the Lamb on the throne, on Jesus. And the sacrifice that he has made for us has won for him a name far above every other name. and the 110 million angels. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you before, Liz, but there's 110 million angels around the throne in concentric circles, like choirs. And
wow.
I have the names of those ranks of angels. Maybe I'll share that at our time together
in our event in
UK.
Winchester.
But the angelic and men mingle together in that throne room. It's not like angels over here and people are redeemed spirits over here. We literally enter into their festivities. We enter in to their dance and into their delight of serving and loving Jesus. And they marvel at us because we were the once lost, but now I'm found. And they have never been lost. The ones, angels that sin, they're gone. But they have never been disobedient or, you know, slow to obey in any way the sovereignty of the King. So for them to mingle with redeemed humanity, it's a sensory overload, to say the least. And we're all going to learn that dance of Mahanaim, the dance of two camps, two armies, the angel army and the armies of the awakened ones, of the ascended ones. And the throne room company is going to shift the universe and tip the scales. And God is going to put his thumb, the Father's going to put his thumb on those scales, and it's going to tilt up on behalf of the saints, in favor of the saints. And this world really is going to be the kingdom of our Lord and our Christ.
Yeah.
And the throne is ever expanding. It's ever enlarging. And his kingdom will have no end. The increase of his kingdom and of his authority has no end. So it's I love the topic, the throne room, the sovereignty of our King.
So do I. It's just profound. It's life-changing, isn't it? And you guys, we are doing an event, what we just mentioned about then. We're doing an event together in Winchester, which is the original ancient capital of England, this year in September, where Brian is going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking. We've got Justin Abraham speaking worship. And the Lord said to gather together and to call it the throne. And I believe, so yeah, jump onto the website if you haven't already registered for it, because it's going to be a seriously strategic holy time to gather together at the feet of Jesus. But I believe what you're talking about, Brian, there's going to be an activation, an increase of our capacity to operate as the throne room company at that gathering. The Lord is going to do something very special because he's inviting us to be together to do this. So it's, it's in his heart, isn't it?
I never told you this, but the Lord just reminded me. He gave me a clear word that the day would come when entire groups of people would be brought up into the throne room in a divine encounter. Like, and I'm not promising, I'm not making any claim about this conference, but the Lord has definitely spoken to me that the day is coming when entire groups of people are going to be brought up all at once into divine encounter, into the throne room. And oh, that it would be this time in Winchester. Wouldn't that be a delight?
Oh, we're going to pray for that. Absolutely. Oh. I have faith for that. Oh my gosh. Brian, just, we have a few minutes left. Can I ask you to pray for people? Just whatever is in your heart.
Lord, I thank you for the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus that has purchased so much for us. While the King was at his table, my praise perfume rose. And Lord, at your table, feasting at your provisions, what the blood has purchased, authority, power, peace, serenity. Lord, to have that relationship with you at your table. Now we come before your throne by blood, and we thank you, Jesus, that you have accepted us, received us, not just as wayward sons and daughters, but as your beautiful bride. And we love that designation. We accept that from you, Jesus. And as your bride, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon the UK and upon everyone viewing, listening, Lord, today, upon the nations of the earth. Stir our hearts, God. We ask that you would take us from any plateau that we have parked on, any level that is not in the highest zone of the throne, and move us forward, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that horizon in front of us, the daybreakers and dawn makers who will arise. And we ask, God, that you would open the heavens above Liz Wright Ministries and above this event coming up in Winchester. And Lord, that those that come would be drenched by the glory that emanates from the throne room of God. Bring healing now to families. Bring healing to bodies. Bring your healing grace to troubled hearts and troubled minds. And take us into that sea of tranquility, the sea of glass, clear as crystal. And show us, Lord, that you are in charge, that you are the sovereign King of the universe, and you are sovereign over our lives. We bless you, Father. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, you're our friend, and we thank you for being everything to us. In your holy name, amen and amen.
Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. We agree. We agree. And oh. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit so strongly. Brian, when you were praying, I kept hearing the word tipping point, tipping point, tipping point. Guys, as we respond to the Spirit drawing us to assemble as the throne room company, as those of us that will live in our conscious awareness from there, recognizing, and the Holy Spirit's doing this for all of us, recognizing the different level who we are and the authority that we carry because we carry their King. It's going to shift the atmosphere over our lives individually and collectively and regionally. And as we rise and Holy Spirit's doing it, as the bride rises and takes her position as the true government in the earth under Christ, in Christ, we're going to see things shift and change. And I believe it's a catalytic time, and what we're doing is we're partnering with Holy Spirit to facilitate events and to film, have conversations like this to begin to stir us and release this invitation from the Lord to rise up, come up here, like you said, Brian, to come up here. So I agree with Brian's prayer, and I pray that you will have this experience this week, even today, that you will shift in your awareness and you'll move to a different level of understanding of where you live from and who you are and the authority that you carry. Amen. Oh, amen. Brian, thank you. It's thank always you. Amazing having you on with me.
Really looking forward to being with you there.
Yeah,
for that event. It's going to be just so yummy.
Yeah, totally. Yummy and holy and life-changing. It's going to be amazing. Oh, it's amazing. And guys, thank you so much for giving us your precious time this week. Have the most amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
Jesus said to me, if I would create a space for him, he would come, and he has. We now have people from all over the world as part of what has now become known as the International Mentoring Community, gathering together at his feet every week, and he is moving powerfully. And I want to invite you to come on this amazing journey together with us. Come and join the IMC.